This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Label Sternbach and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Joining us this morning is epidemiologist Dr. Michael Osterholm, who also serves as a Luther College regent in Iowa, recently receiving the Outstanding Government Service Award from the American Medical Association. When you were notified, Dr. Osterholm, what was your reaction?
Well, first of all, let me just start out with my reaction. It's good to be back with you, Freddie. I've missed you. But I mean, the fact that we've not talked because of the issue with COVID, I think that's been a good news issue. But I've missed you. Well, the honor of the day starts off with that. In terms of the award from the AMA, you know, one of the things you learn in the business I'm in, public health, that nothing is ever done by yourself. It's always a team. And, you know, I've been very fortunate. I'm going on 50 years here now. I've been in Minnesota working. And I've worked with the most amazing team. So that award really is about several people who made it all possible. So, but I'm very honored. And, you know, I've worked closely with the physicians of this state and from around the country since I've been in public health. And we all recognize how important those docs can be. So it was a very special time. But again, it's great to be back with you.
It's good to be with you as well. And congratulations once again on that prestigious award of government service. Wow. I'm wondering, Doctor, can you comment on the undercounting of COVID deaths at the start of the pandemic and its impact today? This is a study released by colleague Dr. Elizabeth Wrigley Fields. That's her real name, folks. Elizabeth Wrigley Fields from the University of Minnesota. What's your take on that?
Well, first of all, let me just say she's a wonderful researcher, does very important work, and we're very lucky to have her at the University of Minnesota. And it was part of a very important project that looked at the increase in deaths that were not attributed to COVID, and in many cases, kind of not attributed to any one thing. And they actually followed the exact curve of when COVID deaths went up and down, and it right at the very same time. And so, I mean, it was almost like a fingerprint kind of situation. And as they looked into it more and more, it was clear that these were cases oftentimes of likely COVID infection, particularly more in rural areas, too, where once they basically became infected, they may have died and no one ever diagnosed it as COVID or the death due to COVID. And it adds a substantial number of deaths to the total count that we have. And, you know, healthcare workers can tell you that when COVID numbers went up, a lot of people were in emergency rooms for things that weren't called COVID at the time, but in retrospect, they were. We now know this virus can impact your heart, it can impact your lungs, it can impact your brain in ways that we just didn't appreciate before, and now we do. And so I think this is a very important piece of work and just further supports just how critical, you know, getting your vaccine and using Paxlovid, the drug that can really reduce serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths, is with COVID.
It's really interesting. When we first started talking, you used a term early on. You spoke a lot about herd immunity. And are we experiencing that right now?
Well, first of all, you have an incredible memory. That was 4 years ago. No one has to worry about your cognitive function, okay? You remember something that far back, man. That's good.
Bud and I are in the same crowd.
There you go. Anyway, it turns out that for herd immunity to work, what it means is enough people basically get infected or get vaccinated, and then you have long-term protection. It's like kind of putting rods in a reaction, okay? So it stops it or slows it down. But the key feature to that is that they have to have persistent protection, meaning that it's not just for a few months. And it turns out that with this coronavirus, which we've known about other coronaviruses, the same thing, is that the protection may only be temporary, meaning months. And that's what we're seeing right now. And in fact, I'm so glad you asked that question, because it really goes to the heart of where we're at today about vaccines. You know, the vaccines that we have are good vaccines, but they're not great vaccines. And when I say that, What I mean is that they could provide good protection against serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths for that first 4 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. But then you start to have waning immunity, and you become susceptible again. So you can't be part of a group that is no longer going to get the illness. Just like, for example, with measles, if you get a measles, you get your shots, or you get infection with measles, you probably have protection for many, 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 many years. And so today, we urge people, particularly those 65 years of age and older, to actually get the additional booster dose right now. I got mine last Saturday. And every 6 months, for those who are older, and most of the deaths today are in those who are 65 and older. So we can do a lot to really even further limit the impact of this virus. People were to get vaccinated every 6 months. And I know a lot of people won't, but unfortunately, some of those people are going to end up in the hospital critically ill, and unfortunately, some of them are going to die.
Interesting. You talked about the different variants of the coronavirus. I'm looking at XBB.1.5, JN.1 subvariants, and it seems as if the different vaccines have tracked these different variants of coronavirus. And I just read where you're suggesting that we should be getting another vaccine booster this summer.
Yep, and as I said, I just got mine. The CDC just last week recommended that anyone who is more than 4 to 6 months out now get an additional dose. If you're over 65 or you're immune compromised at a younger age, you know, again, it may not stop you from getting infected in the next 6 months, but it will do a whole lot to reduce your likelihood of having serious illness. And I'll take that any day of the week, okay? You know, it if I get sick, you know, and in bed for a day or two, that sure beats the, you know, having to go to the morgue.
It certainly does. We're talking with Dr. Michael Osterholm, epidemiologist. And just yesterday, the CDC's new isolation guidelines have been released, saying that people with COVID, it's okay for them to resume normal daily activities if they've been fever-free without medication for at least 24 hours and their symptoms are improving over the at least 24 hours. Now, how does that fix with the medical guidance that you'd been giving us that talked about 5 days of isolation, yep, 10 days of isolation, and the shedding of the virus continues even if you start to feel better? How does this latest CDC guideline jive with the science?
Well, first of all, let me just share with you the science of what we know about this virus. The new variants that we've had over the last several years have really changed, first of all, when people become clinically ill relative to when they get exposed. Used to be we had an incubation period of about 5 days, and that meant from the time you got exposed till the time you got actually sick. Today it's only about 2 days, okay? And it's during that 2-day period and the next 2 days afterwards that the vast majority of people will have the highest levels of virus, and it'll start dropping, even to get to the point of by, well, only 20% of the people have actually virus isolated from them at 3 or 4 days out. Where we are having a real challenge right now is about half of all the people who transmit the virus are either asymptomatic, meaning they never get sick, or they're presymptomatic, meaning they're in that 2-day period before they get sick. So it's not that we're saying the virus isn't still important, but as you and I both know, we see a lot of people right today that don't test, won't test. And you got to meet people where they're at. And the one reason they don't test, they say, I can't stay out for 8 to 10 days. And I don't have sick leave. Who's going to take care of the kids, or how's this going to happen? And so one of the things is we're trying to meet where people are at to say, you know, if in fact you are infected, you should test if you have symptoms. That's number one, which is a challenge. Number two, if you do test and you're positive, if we can take out most of that transmission exposure time for those first few days, that's what's there. But then wear basically an N95, a tight face fitting mask, for the next 3 to 5 days. And knowing that even if we could eliminate all the virus transmission from people who are clinically ill and know that they have COVID, with over half of it being caused by people who don't know they're sick, they're out in the public, we still have to protect those who are older. We still have to protect those who are over 65, those who are have underlying immune compromised conditions. And that's why I keep coming back. That's what we got to, if we want to know what we can do to have most impact on protecting people and their lives, it's you got to get vaccinated. You got to get Paxlovid if you get sick early, and that's what's going to have the most impact.
And thank you for that impactful statement. I'm Freddie Bell, and we'll be back with more New Beginnings right after this on your favorite radio station. It's National Eyelash Day. It promotes the love and the need for true and false eyelashes. The day offers an opportunity to explore the benefits and fashions of eyelashes. For some, eyelashes are a staple item to every makeup look and beauty enthusiast. Lashes have always been known to make our eyes pop and stand out from the crowd. As important as how they make us look, they also help to keep dirt and substances from entering the eye and aid in preventing infections. Another important benefit eyelash provides is preventing eye moisture from evaporating. Lashes shade our eyes in a variety of lengths and colors, too. Needless to say, eyelashes are a true necessity for every person at any age, no matter how thick, how long, and how sparkly. Today is National Eyelash Day. I'm Freddie Bell, and we'll be back with more as we blink our eyes after this.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now is Kathy McClear. She is AARP Minnesota State Director. And Kathy, before we get started, how can our audience find out more about all the fine work of AARP Minnesota?
Oh, well, you can always find us at aarp.org/MN. We have all kinds of information about upcoming events, volunteer opportunities, and of course, our advocacy work.
All right. Let's talk about cooking. I understand that AARP is offering a virtual cooking series geared toward plant-based cooking. I think I told you in the green room that I don't recall AARP talking about cooking before today.
Well, Freddie, as you know, we like to offer a variety of ways for people to get connected with one another and connect with AARP. And so this is one of the many virtual opportunities. So you can do this right from the comfort of your own home. And it's a virtual cooking series. And many of the sessions are geared toward plant-based cooking. We know that, you know, maybe you made some New Year's resolutions to eat healthier, and depending on how that's going, you might need a little refresher. And so these are really great opportunities to learn some easy, healthy recipes, save a little money, and explore some plant-based meals to be a little bit healthier.
That's really cool. Now, who will be leading these classes, Kathy?
Yeah, we're so excited that we work with a local chef, Chef Robin Aisbell. She is an author, an educator, and a natural food chef who just really creates some really yummy, feel-good food. And one of the pieces of, you know, cooking, of course, is being, you know, knowing your way around the kitchen, of course, and then being able to have some solid knife skills. You know, whenever you pull out that big chef's knife, I always get a little bit nervous, you know, get my fingers out of the way. And I think that's, you know, one of the things as you're prepping your food, making sure that you have those skills to slice and dice and chop to avoid waste and also keep those fingers safe.
So when is the first virtual cooking class coming up?
Yeah, so we have the knife skills for the home cook on March 12th, and that's from noon to 1:30. Mm-hmm. And again, this is virtual. So you can join from your home, your computer, your smartphone, whatever's convenient for you. We also encourage people to have some of those staples ready. So get some onions, some garlic, some carrots, peppers, chili, sweet potatoes, whatever you like to eat. Have those on hand so you can practice right along with Robin as she shows you how to handle those knives.
We're talking with Kathy McClear, and we're also talking about cooking. Yes, we're talking about cooking, and it's knife skills for the home cook. The first one is March 12th at noon, and this is a part of a series. Can you tell us more about the upcoming classes in addition to this initial one?
Yeah, well, we know that living a longer life means living a healthier life, and we wanted to offer a way that people could, find some easy nutrient-dense meals that can help you live that healthy lifestyle as you age. So in addition to the Knife Skills class, we have Avocado Mania. Who doesn't love some avocado toast, right? Mm. So we've got that on May 14th. She'll probably tell us how to move beyond avocado toast and guacamole. prebiotics and probiotics, that's coming up in July. Anti-inflammatory, I don't know about you, but I've got some bad knees. And so the anti-inflammatory foods, those are really helpful for me in managing some of my arthritis that I've got. That's in September. And then we know lots of folks are now gluten-free. And so we will have a gluten-free holiday treat event in November.
As you said at the outset, this sounds yummy. How can we register?
You can learn more and register at AARP.org/MN events.
I don't know about you, everyone, but I am hungry. She's Kathy McClear from AARP Minnesota, the state director, and you're listening to New Beginnings. And now it's time for my song of the week. Now, Michael Jackson's unique and unparalleled artistry comes to the stage as MJ, the multi-Tony Award-winning new musical centered around the making of the 1992 Dangerous World Tour. It begins a tour of his own. Created by Tony Award-winning director-choreographer Christopher Wheeldon and two-time Pulitzer Prize winner Lynn Nottage, MJ goes beyond the singular moves and signature sound of the star, offering a rare look at the creative mind and collaborative spirit that catapulted Michael Jackson into legendary status. MJ is starting something when it makes its Twin Cities premiere at the Orpheum Theater in May, and here is that 1982 hit, Michael Jackson, Wanna Be Starting Something, my song of the week.
Starting something.
That's Michael Jackson, Wanna Be Starting Something, my song of the week. I'm Freddie Bell. You can follow me on social media and visit my website, freddiebell.com. And let's talk music. Now it's time for information from the lighter side of my desk. Passengers of a Delta International flight might be relieved to be off the plane after maggots fell from an overhead cabin onto economy passengers about an hour after takeoff. The flight was traveling from Amsterdam to Detroit and was rerouted back to the airport after a suitcase containing rotten fish in the overhead bin broke open and maggots began to fall on the unsuspecting passengers. The passengers exited the plane after it landed at the original airport, and the suitcase that caused the disruption was put in a bag to be burned while the cabin was clean. Vogue has revealed the dress code for this year's Met Gala. The magazine posted that the dress code for the evening is The Garden of Time, which is inspired by J.G. Ballard's short story. The story tells of a count and a countess who are living in an idyllic villa overlooking a garden, but beyond the walls of the villa, a mob is encroaching. According to Vogue, the dress code is about fleeting beauty. The Met Gala will be held on May 6th. Costume props and other items from iconic films are headed to auction this week. Items up for grab include Hannibal Lecter's mask in The Silence of the Lambs, Yoda's walking stick from Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, and a hoverboard used by Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future 2. Costumes and props from Marvel, Harry Potter, and Jurassic Park franchises are also available for purchase. The live auction takes place in Los Angeles, and absentee bidding is already underway on Studio Auction's website, which is the coordinator of the auction. If you're feeling a bit grouchy after that Valentine's Day chocolate, researchers say you're not alone. It seems that chocolate can cause different reactions in different people. In some folks, the candy makes them feel warm and fuzzy. In others, it promotes depression, sadness, and feelings of guilt. Some people even sent themselves their own Valentine's Day card and gifts. A survey of about 4% of adults aged 30 and older buy themselves a Valentine's Day gift, such as flowers, a dessert, or some chocolate, a mug, etc. It's wacky, but it's true. A young man stole his parents' car to visit his grandparents. A 10-year-old Norwegian boy drove his parents' car into a snowy ditch on his way to visit his grandparents, 68 miles away. He got about 6 miles before veering off the road. A snowplow driver found him, luckily, and called police. From the lighter side, I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings. Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
401k rollover nightmares and mistakes. Join us this week as we talk about some of the most common issues that people encounter when rolling over their work retirement accounts and how to avoid them. I'm Freddie Bell, and I'm with Lapel Sternbach. He's Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and also the book Authenticity. And if you like a lot of information about what we talk about today, you can go to yieldsforyou.com. Lapel, you're on fire. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. And you got me. I'm thinking about nightmares and Murder on Elm Street and all the rest of it. So before we dive into the nitty gritty, what is a rollover and why would I want to take my money out of my employer's retirement plan? It works so well up to now. I've had it for 10 years and everything's working well. Why should I move?
So the simple reason, there's two reasons why you would want to move and why I encourage people usually to move their money from their employer retirement accounts. Number one is that it's just in your control, right? So all things being equal, let's say you've got the best employer retirement plan, right, possible, and they, you know, it's low cost, which, you know, some of them are, but most aren't. But let's say it's low cost and you're invested properly and everything's working perfectly and you don't even need the money. The fact is that rolling it over into your own retirement account gives you a measure of control that you just don't have in your 401k. If you needed your money from your 401k tomorrow, you would have to call up some 1-800 number or speak to HR, and then they would have to cut a check. And by the time you actually get your money, you'd be lucky if it's a week or two later. And that's if everything moves fast and, you know, everything went perfectly. Chances are they're not going to move fast and it's not going to go perfectly. And then it can be weeks before you need that money. And, you know, just me personally, though, you know, from everything that I've seen, one of the biggest risks that we have in retirement is that we need money. We have a sudden and unexpected need for money, and we don't have a good way of where to get that from. And so we end up taking it from the worst possible place because that is the only place that we have easy access to the money. And we end up locking in market losses and just creating the snowball effect where we, you know, where we start running out of money because we're locking in losses and taking it out. And one mistake compounds another mistake. And before you know it, these little trivial things end up destroying our retirement savings and our lifestyle. So for me, the biggest thing is let's get that money out there, get it out of it, get it into an account you can control where if you needed the money, you can get it tomorrow, right? That's number one for me. The other thing is that oftentimes in employer retirement accounts, you have a lack of options, right? So when you think about, you know, you have this money and you want it to last the rest of your lifetime, and most of the time you're at the point in your life where you don't need it to continue to grow. What you're really looking for is to maintain its value and for it to keep pace with inflation, but you're not looking to, you know, make $1 million. You're not looking for it to become this huge sum of money at the end of the road, which is what we were looking for when we were working, right? When we were working and we're putting that money into that retirement savings, we want it to be a much larger sum at the end of the road. We've gotten to the end of that road now, right? Now we need to think about capital preservation, right? It's not accumulation. It's how do we preserve this? How do we spend this? And the tools that you need to do that properly often aren't found in traditional retirement accounts, in traditional, you know, 401ks, 403bs. And that's just because they're targeting simplicity, they're targeting, you know, growth, they're targeting different things. And so they'll give you, you know, some options, but oftentimes to be able to dial in the risk and reward that you really need for you, it just isn't there. Not only that, the types of investments that you have access to are limited, right? So something that, you know, we do for our clients on a regular basis is we'll invest them in products that have principal protection, but have upside exposure, right? And we can dial that in based on what they want, right? The more protection you have, the less upside exposure you have. And I'm not talking about annuities. I'm talking about things like market-linked CDs or, you know, hedged equity products, structured notes. There's all kinds of things. There's a whole category of investments where you can have upside participation with downside protection up to 100% with FDIC insurance, right? So like a market-linked CD, it's just like a bank CD, except that the interest rate is tied to an index rather than being fixed at the time that you got it. Right. So, for instance, you know, the other day I got one for a bunch of my clients where you got it was 100% principal protection, FDIC insured. It was, you know, 15 months. And if the market went up to 20%, you got paid 20%. If it went beyond that, you know, you didn't get paid that. You got your 20% and that was it. So these types of products exist out there. And for somebody who is just looking to beat inflation and maybe get an extra few percent after that, that's ideal. But it's not something that you can purchase inside of your 401k. So when we talk about why to roll over, it's easier access, more investments, and greater ability to dial in your risk reward to exactly what you need.
It almost sounds, and I don't think you're saying this, it almost sounds like you're making a strong case not to use an employer's 401k program.
While you're working, it's the best thing, right? Okay. It is the best thing that you have, right? It gives you the most tax savings. There's a 401k match usually, right? So there's some amount of money you're getting for free, right? It is the it is a great vehicle for accumulating wealth, right? And even my clients who are, you know, they're slowly getting to that period where they're transitioning into retirement, I often encourage them to keep, you know, as much money as they can in that 401k if it makes sense, mm-hmm. right? But it's as we get closer and closer to retirement, as that date comes where we need to start spending that money, right? It stops becoming the best vehicle for growth. Uh-huh. And we need to start looking for other tools.
So in that regard, we're talking about rollover nightmares and mistakes. So when you make this rollover to an advised account, will you have to pay taxes if you roll the money over?
So if it depends on how you do it, right? And this is something that I honestly, there is something you want to do with an advisor. You could do this on your own, but I have seen so many weird scenarios that if you weren't looking out for it, could really trip you up. Let's just talk high level, right? High level, if you do what's called a trustee to trustee rollover, sometimes referred to as a custodian to custodian rollover, which means you never take possession of the money, right? The money is never made out to you. The money gets sent from your 401k provider or your retirement provider to your new custodian, to whoever is going to have your IRA rollover account, your individual retirement account rollover, whoever that is. If it goes directly through them without going through you, then there is no tax implication.
Mm-hmm.
If, however, it goes to you, right, then you run the risk. They're going to withhold 20%. And if you don't deposit it in an IRA account within 60 days, you run the risk of, well, you guarantee, if you don't deposit within 60 days, you guarantee the fact that it's going to be counted as a distribution, right? And if it's a distribution, then all that money is taxed as ordinary income, right? Which obviously you don't want to do. So you want to make sure that the money goes directly from custodian to custodian. Having said that, though, a lot of retirement providers will require that they send the check to you, and then the check will, and then you deposit the check into your new account. However, the way they make that so that it's not a distribution to you and there's no withholding of taxes is that the check is made out to your new custodian. So, like if you were doing it with us, we use Charles Schwab. So a lot of our clients will get a check, and it's made out to Charles Schwab, FBO, for the benefit of, and then it'll have your name on it. Right, so it's not technically made out to you. If you went to your bank to try to cash it, they won't cash it for you.
So are there other techniques to make sure you do this correctly? I know avoiding the tax implication and ordinary income. Are there other considerations, Libel?
Yeah, so the at the time that you take the money out of, that you do this rollover from your retirement account, the IRS tax code gives you several opportunities to do things that you cannot do outside of this rollover process. One of those is if you have a retirement account that has both Roth and IRA money, or it has pre-tax and after-tax dollars, and I'm differentiating on those specifically because even though it's after-tax dollars, and it's important to get these numbers right because each of these have different tax implications. So although you may think of an after-tax money as being no different than a Roth, when it's in your 401k account, it's technically different. And so it's technically different, and the earnings on it are treated differently, and the accounting needs to be done differently. So, but what you can do, and this will help you so much in the future, especially when you start taking distributions or you do Roth conversions, is you want to separate all of those buckets of money out into their appropriate accounts. So you want your pre-tax dollars to go into your traditional IRA account, you want your after-tax dollars to go into your Roth account, and you want the earnings on your after-tax dollars, not Roth, but the earnings on your after-tax dollars to go into a traditional retirement account. And so you may end up getting two or three checks when you roll over that 401k money. And it's important that you do this because if you don't do it, then and I've seen this happen, we've sent checks back to 401k providers, because they'll send it and they mix the monies up, even though we tell them to keep it separate. But it's important because each of those have different tax consequences. So for instance, if you contributed to a 401k, especially if you've been there for a long time, chances are you were contributing money that was, you may have contributed more money than was allowed under the, you know, pre-tax traditional IRA, you know, traditional retirement account values. And so that additional amount would count as after tax because you already paid taxes on it. You didn't get a deduction on your tax return. However, at the time you did it, there was no such thing as a Roth 401k, or your employer didn't support a Roth 401k at that point, but they did keep track of what dollars you put in that you already paid taxes on versus what you didn't. And instead, and if you just do the normal rollover, you say, hey, send everything to my traditional IRA, you may end up putting that in that same bucket as a traditional IRA, in which case one of two things happen. Either the 401k provider doesn't tell your new custodian that this dollars have already been pre-taxed and you already pay taxes on it, in which case you're now just going to pay more taxes for no good reason. Or they do tell them, and now every time you take a distribution from your retirement account or you do a conversion, you have to do this pro rata rule where you have to do this math and figure out what percentage of the distribution you're taking is pre-tax and after-tax. And now your life gets complicated when you could have just separated it out when you do that rollover. And so it's very important to do that. If you have employer stock, then it gets infinitely more complicated because there's a whole nother set of rules that can come into place that can save you money. You know, and adding complication to this is that the IRS allows for a whole lot of flexibility, and very rarely do the 401k plans or the retirement plans have good guidelines. Like, they don't tell you about this up front. They don't ask you if it's what you want to do. You have to be on top, know about this, and ask them to do it for you, and then make sure that they did it properly, because to date, I have yet to have them do it properly the first time.
It sounds like a lot of us, and I'm raising my hand too, would need some help, and I'm wondering, is that something that Yield for You can help us with?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one of our bread and butter things that we do for people. The two things that we spend a lot of time doing is, one, you know, giving back to community, doing free retirement and, you know, Roth conversion analysis for people. The other is, you know, for the people who do want to become clients, is we help them through this process of rolling over their money from their employer accounts and then reinvesting it and making sure that it comes over properly. I will tell you, it generally, you know, from start to finish, it can take, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, sometimes longer, to get that money rolled over properly.
Sounds like it's worth it, though. But that's all the time we have for today. But we invite you to join us next week as we dive into three ways to protect your investments from market volatility. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings. It's always a pleasure being with you, and here are today's words to the wise. Great people do great things. Know that you're great. It's a powerful affirmation that underscores the inherent potential in each one of us. It's a reminder that greatness is not reserved for a select few, but it's a quality accessible to everyone. By acknowledging our inherent greatness, this phrase encourages self-confidence, inspiring us to embrace our capabilities and pursue impactful endeavors. It reflects a belief that recognizing personal greatness is the first step towards achieving extraordinary feats and making a positive difference in the world. Today's words to the wise: great people do great things. Know that you're great. I'm Freddie Bell, and we'll be right back. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
And she said a phrase that's going to inspire me for a very long time. He said, I'm not so religious. I don't go looking for God. I look for good. Hear that? She didn't go looking for a personality, a great character. She looked for the expression of God in this world as good, as she understood it, as she was able to behold it, as she experienced. life. That's what we can cling to when change is tearing our life apart, at least in our understanding. When relationships end, when friends pass. Somebody from my past a long time ago in college, we were roommates and dear friends. Her husband recently died, and as she was preparing the service and looking at old photos, as we do, she ran across photos from 1984. Wow, 40 years ago. She was a photographer, and photos she took of her husband Don and me. And I thought, wow, times have changed. I've gotten older. But then I laughed because the picture she sent me, as a young man, I had hair this length. I can't wait to email her back and say, the cycles of time. You sent me beautiful pictures, and I just so happened to be growing my hair out like those photos at this time. These surprises of life. We go, things change, and then we come back and we recognize something. Here it is again. I have the opportunity to work with this again in my life. Am I going to do it the same way? Have I learned something on my path that's going to help me this time around with a challenge? Or even getting lost in excitement and celebration in life, woo, 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 and losing my sense of myself. What it is to take a role on in life that we may deem necessary in a relationship, as a caretaker, in a career. And one day we wake up and I've become my job. I become this part of another person's life. I've become a religious leader. And you realize it's time to go and reclaim I exist, that sense of self and being. That's the balance of life. And so in this third lesson today, our conclusion, the other two-word phrase, I exist, I experience. Today, I create. I create. Many of you have heard of the concept in unity. Not that we own it, but the concept that we are co-creators with God. Working with the possibilities that God has given us, we see them in the 12 powers in our window. God has given us possibilities to develop in our life. We co-create. God has given you the capacity of love or compassion. You, in living your life, develop that capacity. How expansive will your love be? How deep will you develop the faculty of wisdom in your life? This is all co-creating with God. And I'm not talking just about the latest idea from a self-help book. These are the essentials, the principles of being. Myrtle Fillmore liked to call them the potentialities of being. I love that big word. But the possibilities within you, if you choose to align with your God-given gifts and to do something, to create them, to develop them in your life. Sometimes that can get to be a challenge. And so I just wanted to remind us of possibilities, of what you are capable of doing. Now talk about a mystery unfolding, as Patricia sang those words. Many know, not just because she's running as a presidential candidate, but many of us are more familiar. Years ago, Marianne Williamson's first book, Return to Love. Return to that power, that connection, that possibility within you. And she offered a mysterious line that sounds kind of counterintuitive. She said, most people, I paraphrase, most people are not afraid of their limitation. They're afraid to admit how powerful they are. God power. What does it mean in unity when we say, you have come forth from God, your Creator? Or centuries ago, and many still follow the tradition of the Rosicrucians, who made their foundational statement, ex Deo nascimur, in Latin, but meaning, we come forth or are born of God. Come forth from God. And they knew that meant power, possibility, the ability to heal yourself, your relationships, your world, because you had come forth from the divine spirit that makes all things possible. The resurrected Christ, the risen one, recorded in our book of Revelations, that is the revelation that came to John on the island of Patmos, heard those words, behold, I make all things new. What is it to know that power?
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. It happened this week in 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt pledged to lead the country out of the Great Depression during his inauguration speech. In 1989, Time Incorporated and Warner Communications Incorporated announced plans to merge into the world's largest media and entertainment conglomerate. In 1994, comedian John Candy died of heart failure at the age of 43. He was filming Wagons East in Mexico. In 1994, four Arab defendants were found guilty of all counts against them in relation to the bombing of New York City's World Trade Center complex in February of 1993. The blast underneath the world-famous Twin Towers caused six deaths and injured over 1,000. In 1996, country singer and comedian Minnie Pearl died at the age of 84. In 1997, President Clinton barred spending federal money on human cloning. In 1999, retired U.S. Supreme Court Justice Harry A. Blackmun died at the age of 90. Blackmun wrote the controversial 1973 decision in Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion around the country. In 2001, disco singer Glenn Hughes of the Village People died at the age of 50. Hughes was the man in leather in the flamboyant, colorful ensemble. And in 2020, a new study confirmed human-caused climate change did make the 2020 Australian bushfire season worse, published by World Weather Attribution. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.